I looked back on it a lot over the years and really tried to kind of figure out, you know, what the magic was behind it. I think it's a culmination of just everything that goes into that video. You've got this dorky, you know, 20-something year old dude, a really bad mustache with, you know, swimming goggles on, and he's wearing a Spider-Man costume. Once you thought you've seen it all, he just tells you it's Wednesday and then lets out this, you know, unearthly screech. And people are like, this is weird. I really like it.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Sounder. And Sounder is the podcast host that I wish I had when I started my show. Because when you sign up for Sounder Plus, their premium offering, which is only $12.99 a month, you unlock so many incredible features. Let's just go through their website and see what's included with Sounder Plus. So you get unlimited podcasts, Analytics Plus, automatic distribution to YouTube, up to 50,000 streams a month, customizable Sounder player, support within 24 hours, 4 collaborators, custom domains, programmatic advertising, so you can start making money from your podcast. You can also leverage the power of AI and machine learning with their tools that auto transcribe your full podcast and then help you generate keywords, which you can use for the title, for SEO in your description, can help you generate subtitles. It's so powerful what you can do with just one subscription of Sounder, which again is only $12.99 a month, which is a steal, but we're going to give you an even better deal because you're a listener of My Social Life. If you go to sounder.fm/plus and use the promo code Jacob at checkout, you can try Sounder Plus for 3 months free. You get a 3 month free trial if you go to sounder.fm/plus and use the promo code Jacob at checkout. Thank you so much to Sounder for sponsoring today's episode. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. This is the podcast where we teach you how to grow on social media by talking to people who have actually done it. People like Jimmy here, who has over 1.2 million subscribers on YouTube. Jimmy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to get into it.
I'm excited to get into it as well, man. And where I want to start, I want to go back far. Let's talk about iFunny before we even get into YouTube. So that's where you started in social media, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think iFunny is the first platform that I started kind of uploading, reposting memes and uploading just random text things or video game stuff, and where I first started getting a few followers. And I mean, they didn't follow me for any content that I necessarily made, but it was kind of just like, oh, this guy's posting memes I like. Cool. I'm going to give him a follow. That's how iFunny was.
It was memes and League of Legends stuff, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. I started off originally posting League of Legends content, League of Legends memes, you know, asking people questionnaires like, you know, what's your favorite champion in League right now? And even at one point I was, I had my account based off of a League of Legends champion. I was doing rap battles as the champion. Really cringy stuff. But, you know, it was fun back then. And that's where I first got like my 100 followers, my first 100. And that was mind-blowing to me. I was like, how can 100 people want to see what I'm posting?
Because that was back in like 2010, 2011-ish?
I don't know if it goes back that far. I want to say iFunny started posting in 2013 or 14. I don't think it went back as far as 10 or 11.
So does that mean then you were streaming before iFunny? Because you did some early like League of Legends stream on Twitch, right?
Yeah, I streamed off of my really shitty laptop in my college dorm back in, I think, 2011 or 2012. I think I streamed League of Legends for the first time to, you know, zero viewers, just because I saw other people doing it. And I was like, wait, I can garner an audience of people that just want to watch me play games. This is crazy. You know, I was always, you know, a little bit of a class clown and loved the attention in school. So it was natural to me.
And you stuck with the streaming for a little while, right? Like, so you started probably in that same 2012, 2013 range, and you were doing it until around 2014, I believe. And then you kind of had to dial it back to work full time, right?
Yeah, I did. So I was doing some casual streaming and things were actually kind of picking up. But then after I'd gotten married and was working full-time job to, you know, pay for the apartment and everything, I did have to dial it back, but I mostly just did League of Legends content back then. You know, who wasn't on Twitch? And things were going okay. I was hosting, you know, some tournaments here and there and doing some giveaways when I could. And it wasn't going bad at all. But I just, you know, after a full day at work and then wanting to come home, you know, hang out with the wife, like there wasn't much room for a lot of streaming.
And so then when did you find Vine? Because obviously that'd be so much easier to like 6 seconds, you know, so you're not, it's not as big a time commitment as streaming is. So did Vine come shortly after that, I guess?
Yeah, Vine, I think I utilized Vine at first as a way to get tiny video clips onto iFunny because I wanted to, I think that was like one of the only ways to get video content onto that app, unless you were posting like a YouTube video. But even then, iFunny was so, you know, it was so old school back then. It didn't have any like embedding or anything. So you couldn't just like post a YouTube video and then have it play on the app. So Vine was the first way that I was able to like show my face and be like, hey guys, it's me. You know, what's good? Obviously in the 6 second format. I think the first Vine I ever uploaded and then uploaded to iFunny was something like, you know, welcome to Vine rates, you know, republish the post and then I'll rate your profile. That was pretty much it. It sounds so funny to think that that's like the first thing I ever did. But, you know, iFunny, I was starting to gain a following and I wanted to figure out weird ways to continue the trend. So
what was the traction like for you? I mean, iFunny, so you know, you hit the 100 follower mark and that was a big deal for you. But like pre the Wednesday Vine, like what was traction like for you? Like had you built up a solid base and that just took it to another level? Or were you just still kind of trying to find traction and that was just a rocket ship you caught?
Yeah, there wasn't too much traction. So there was, you know, there was the League of Legends stuff. And when I did like giveaways and stuff, of course, when you say must be following, you know, you get a little bit of followers from that. So I think I got into that. I mean, I'm just spitballing. I think I got to like a couple thousand back on my account. But then when I started posting Vines, I think a lot of people kind of started to be like, oh, you know, this guy's kind of a goofball and he's posting his own content. Nothing went crazy by any means, but I think people started to kind of like enjoy that little charm of like, oh, this guy's not just hiding behind his League of Legends account. He's kind of like showing his personality through, you know, these dumb videos. And but yeah, there wasn't any major traction there right off rip. It was definitely the Wednesday Vine that as you said, kind of skyrocketed you know, my Vine account and then my iFunny account as well, a little bit into a little bit more of a following, a little bit more of a fan base, I guess.
And how was the original Wednesday Vine different from the one that took off?
You mean the one before the one that went viral?
Yeah.
Because there are two. So yeah, it was just a lot less wacky, I think. And it didn't have all of the elements there that took, you know, the viral Vine to the next level. You know, I wasn't in a mirror. I wasn't wearing the Spidey suit. I did have Babyators on, which are aviators for babies. Borrowed them from my nephew-in-law. You know, cheers to him for letting me borrow them when he was, what, three? And then I think I just had a backwards hat on. So it wasn't the package like the Wednesday Vine ended up being.
And so was it the packaging that allowed it to take off?
I've done a lot of, you know, what's it called? Retrospection. Is that the word when you like look back on something? Could be the completely wrong word. I looked back on it a lot over the years and really tried to kind of figure out, you know, what the magic was behind it. I think it's a culmination of just everything that goes into that video of, you've got this dorky, you know, 20 something year old dude, assumedly with a really bad mustache with, you know, swimming goggles on. And he's wearing a Spider-Man costume and he's just in his own bathroom, you know, in the mirror. And then once you thought you've seen it all, he just tells you it's Wednesday and then lets out this, you know, unearthly screech. And so I think all of those goofy things combined with the fact that I think people could just tell that like I wasn't trying to make something crazy. I wasn't trying to be funny. I was putting something up that I really just enjoyed the phrase and the meme behind it is Wednesday. I enjoyed it to my core so much that I was just like, I want to make another one. And I want to just be the biggest goofball I can, because that's what I've always been. I've always just been a huge goof. So I think I kind of just really put myself out there with that video, and then everything kind of just fell into place and people were like, this is weird. I really like it. And then, of course, with it being weekday related, it just comes around all the time. So,
comes around all the time. Like, I saw it get posted last Wednesday in a Slack channel for work. Like, it's still going. But I'm curious, like, once it does go viral, and I'm asking too, because like this is something a lot of kids are experiencing now, especially with TikTok, with the ability to go viral, like it's happening to people all the time. What's going, like, after that happens, what's going through your mind? Like, is there a lot of pressure now to follow that up? Like, I had this mega viral hit. Does my next video have to do the same? Or am I, what's kind of going through your mind when that happens?
I feel like back when Vine was a thing, there weren't as many expectations. So for myself, I was really excited. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I don't think I really understood the magnitude of it back then. So I didn't really try to kind of like hyperanalyze and follow up and make another viral banger. I was like, oh my gosh, cool. I have a viral video kind of. Time to make some more goofy stuff and maybe it'll do well. I was mostly just excited for, you know, the traction and then the new followers that were coming through, because in my mind, you know, I wasn't going to try to be a Viner or even much of a YouTuber. I was really trying to get into Twitch streaming. So at that point I was like, oh, how can I get people over to, you know, my Twitch channel? And I didn't know how to do it back then at all. I did it in really stupid ways. You know, I wasn't garnering, you know, all the people that were new followers. I did such a bad job of, you know, actually getting their attention. I remember when Vine inevitably went down, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to get people over to my other platforms before this goes away. I didn't realize it until like the last minute, essentially. So, but I think these days with TikTok, I think that expectation is inherently just there because everyone's trying to go big. Everyone's trying to go viral, because I think with Vine, people saw that, oh my God, people made careers out of this, and people are doing the same with TikTok. So if you have one thing go big, it's like, this is my shot. I have to take it. And back then, that's not really what I was thinking about. I just wanted to, you know, jump on and play video games and start getting an audience that way.
So what's your advice to somebody who does receive that attention? And like, is it to try and diversify as soon as you possibly can and get people over to other platforms? Like, what would you say to somebody who just had a video that went, I don't know, 1, 5, 10 million views for the first time? Like, what's your advice to that person?
Now, do you mean that in regards of if this person wanted to pursue content creation full time?
Yeah, we'll go through that lens, because I feel like a lot, especially with the younger generation, a lot of them, once they, I think content creation is a means to getting a lot of money. So I think there's a bit of a confusion with what that actually means. And they want to be content creators because there's money attached to it. But I feel like with so many young people, when they do go viral, that's the first thing that goes to their head is, how do I turn this into money? Which by proxy leads them to being a content creator. So we'll roll with that angle.
To be quite honest with you, when it comes to following up on viral things, especially that I've done, I didn't really have too much success following up on the Wednesday video, but I also didn't create a formula for it. One of my biggest things that when people come to me and ask me like, oh, I want to start a YouTube channel, I want to do this and that, how can I get there? I always tell them research. Like, it might sound kind of silly, but do your research. Figure out why the video that you made went big, what people like about it, what people are commenting about it, what their expectations might be for follow-up content. And then once you've kind of got a really good idea of that, figure out what you want, because obviously you don't want to pigeonhole yourself into something that sucks. And then once you figured out all those things, it's time to, you know, start writing. I don't really do too much actual physical writing myself, but if you're trying to replicate a formula, or, you know, use formula A and push it into formula B and continue, you know, that growth, you really need to know why it happened and how you're going to kind of attempt the next one. Because I think these days, you know, there is a lot of viral videos that are just naturally spawning, but there's also a lot of viral videos that people put tons of time and effort into, and they kind of figured out the formula and they go big with it. So I think it's very hard to go viral just randomly, especially these days. There's so many people like going viral every day that it's almost like, not that it's lost its like luster, but compared to going viral on Vine, when Vine was like the only platform really to go viral on, other than maybe YouTube, like the competition is just massive, and it's so much more like cutthroat, I'd say, these days.
Part of that too, like with the going viral thing and like being able to study it, I think something that trips up a lot of people is they go viral for a random video that doesn't fit the type of content they're trying to make, and then that trips them up where the rest of their videos aren't getting views, but it's because the content they're normally making isn't like what went viral. So like, how important is it to kind of create content within like sticking to a niche and creating content within that?
If your main goal is to grow, then you kind of have to at least give a nod to, you know, the thing that made you viral for a little bit while sprinkling in all the other things that you want to do. And it might land, it might not. I think that's just kind of the nature of it. You know, when people have seen one thing and they attach, you know, a person to that association, if they come out of left field with something completely different and it just doesn't land, they're going to be like, oh, well, at least their first one was good, kind of thing. So it really, there really is, I think, you know, a sweet spot of not milking a certain video or a certain type of content, and then also putting a little bit of what that was into maybe your next upload, just to kind of keep it fresh in people's minds, keep that same spark there while diversifying. It's a really, I think, difficult thing to do, depending on, you know, what the viral video was or what you were successful in. But if you do it right, you can really, if people come to expect a certain thing out of you that continues to shine like the viral thing did, we've got a really good thing going and you can get really big really fast, I think.
And like when people go viral now, like they get a lot of views and it usually happens really fast, but then people often forget pretty quick about that viral video. Like for, in your case specifically, like you kind of transcended beyond just a viral video where it became a meme. And so people are able to kind of call on that more. Like I've seen hundreds of viral video on TikTok. I can't really tell you any of them, like what they are or who was in them. But like yours kind of, people are able to distinguish that. They do recognize you for that one video that was back in like 2016. It's like 6 years ago now. So I'm assuming that transition for you, especially kind of getting over away from Vine after Vine goes down, must have been pretty daunting to try and like separate yourself. I know you said like sprinkle in some things that people don't like that aren't associated with that meme, but for you, that must have been really tough.
Yeah. For a long time, I, you know, piggybacked off of the Wednesday Vine as much as I had to for relevance sake. I really, down to my core, I love the It Is Wednesday Moods Vine that I made. I love the meme around it, the culture around it. I haven't gotten tired of it. People ask me all the time, they're like, oh, you must be so sick of it. I'm really not. The only thing I don't really enjoy doing much more is the scream, because I did it like, I had to do it like thousands of times at conventions. But that's because I wanted to. But as the years have gone by, I'm like, yeah, I don't think I like screaming much anymore like that. It's, I'll do it when I have to, and I'll do it for the fans, but not a big screamer these days. But when it comes to like breaking out of the Wednesday Vine as like who I am and what kind of content I make, it has been an extremely long journey, and making a name for yourself outside of where, you know, your reputation literally precedes you. Like, you know, there are millions of people around the world who know of me, but then when I say, hey, here's who I am today, you know, getting them to look past, you know, oh, it's the Wednesday guy, is still a daunting task to this day, even with my, you know, newfound success on YouTube. Being a completely different formula and everything like that. But yeah, that's one thing that, you know, even my manager can attest to, is getting me past the, hey, that's the Wednesday guy. And it's been a wild journey, and I still look back, you know, on everything very fondly, but it's not necessarily who I am anymore or what kind of stuff I do anymore. So,
and there's probably, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's probably a decent percentage of your audience now that doesn't even realize that that's like that's where you got your quote unquote start. Like, I know I find everything, but like, that's where the first kind of pop happened for you. And so that's just proof in the pudding that what you're doing is working, and because you're not just relying on that one video. I believe it's your YouTube banner, right? So people that would know that Vine will recognize it, but like, for the most part, it's not really a part of the brand anymore, is it?
No, not really much. Occasionally I'll do a TikTok that has the Spidey suit in it, just to do a throwback, you know. And yeah, it is in the banner, but it's very low key these days. Yeah, it's the banner. I think for new people coming to my channel, the Vine is still the first thing that plays, just to make people be like, oh, no way. And then, other than that, no, I don't pop the goggles on, really. I don't pop the Spidey suit on. I mostly just chill as myself and all the content that I do lately. And, I'm really happy that I'm able to do that. It's really liberating, I guess, because as much as I loved all the Wednesday stuff, it kind of ended up feeling like a shackle, you know, like this image that you're bound to. And then if you don't associate yourself with the image, then people, you know, just gloss right over you. Like, oh, you know, who's that? And then when you're suited up, it's like, oh, you know, it's almost like a superhero thing, right? But it's my job.
And it wasn't really, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it wasn't that long ago that you started fully creating without the goggles on, right? Like, probably last year and a half, 2 years probably. Like, so it was a significant period you created with those still, right?
Yeah. I did skits, I want to say, like, skits with the goggles and everything, some without, from 20 late 2015 up until, I want to say getting closer to like late 2019. So I was doing goggle and not every time Spidey suit stuff. But I was goggled up for a long time. And it wasn't until 2019 come 2020 that I was really just like, yeah, I'm ready to completely separate myself from that image. Because to be quite frank, I wasn't enjoying it anymore. Whenever I was making those skits, whenever I was making those videos, near the end of the run, I just, my heart was not into it. I felt like it was an obligation. I felt like, you know, the skits and things like that, they just weren't what was enjoyable to me anymore. Some of them were fun. I like, you know, making videos with like my wiener dogs and stuff. But what I really loved doing was interacting with community. And like live streaming, and those obviously go hand in hand. That was what I loved. And so then once I, you know, found what I'm doing now with the You Laugh, You Lose stuff, it really all came together. And I was like, oh my God, I don't have to, you know, do what I've been doing this whole time. I don't have to do what I thought I had to do to be successful. I found a new, you know, avenue that really speaks to me and really helps me feel like me again, which was really important.
So between that period of like late 2019, where you're kind of done with the content you're creating at the time, before kind of finding and perfecting the You Laugh, You Lose content, how close did you get to quitting kind of in between those two things? Like, I know you were seriously considering doing social media management and just stopping creating content altogether. Like, how close or how far along that path did you walk before giving kind of the You Laugh, You Lose the last go there?
Dangerously close. I was going through a lot. 2019 was not an amazing year for me. You know, TikTok was doing all right. You know, I was having some bangers usually when I put on the Spidey suit. But you know, I don't even know if TikTok was paying back then, and still to this day, TikTok as a platform doesn't pay very well. My Twitch streams were kind of on the decline because I was just kind of going live with no plan. I just was like, oh, you know, people will come through. But I wasn't really putting too much into it, so I wasn't getting much back out. And then YouTube was just, you know, I never really had anything hit. So with everything kind of on the decline and, you know, being honest, my mental health suffering a lot as well, I was like, I got to figure something else out. Like, I'm about to be done. I was going to continue streaming, but I wasn't going to, you know, continue doing Jimmy Here content necessarily. So I was very close to just being done with it. And then I remember when I did my first You Laugh You Lose challenge, I didn't even upload it to my main channel. I uploaded it to my second channel and let it go. You know, I was like, cool. You know, I edited it up. It took forever. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not gonna edit one of these again for a long time. And so I just threw it on the second channel. And then I remember checking, I think like a couple weeks later, or maybe like a month later, because I wasn't focused on it. I remember checking on it and it had more views than anything I had posted on my main channel for a long time. And I was like, oh my God, I got to make another one, because obviously as somebody who is, you know, scraping to the bottom of the barrel and ready to give up on something that they were super passionate about for a long time, and then finding the golden nugget, I was ready to be like, okay, how can I replicate this and make it better? And so I did. And then I just kept going, kept making You Laugh You Lose videos, and it kept going on the up and up. And it's funny, with the new series that I was doing, I was also having new changes in my life. And so everything kind of started to build its way back up in a really nice way that kind of saved myself in terms of, you know, who I feel like I am and what I wanted to do with my life. And, you know, even from a really young age, I wanted to entertain or at least be the center of attention somehow. So it really helped me feel like, okay, I can still do this. And there's reasons why people, you know, do want to watch me. I just needed to kind of find myself again and not do what I didn't want to do, which I think is really important, especially for content creators. Because if you get into something that you don't want to do, you're going to end up really disliking this thing that you really thought you liked. It can be a really dangerous thing.
Absolutely. And a few minutes ago, or a little bit longer than that, but you were talking about when someone goes viral, to kind of look at what went viral and really understand why and kind of take notes and learn from that. So I'm curious what that process looked like for you after that first You Laugh You Lose video get some traction. Like, when you're analyzing that video and you're looking at it, what are some of those things you're noting down that did work and that you could do better?
Yeah, I think right off the bat, I tried to figure out, you know, why did this video do so well? And, you know, what's the formula? And I realized that, I'm not like much of a bragger, but I realized I'm very quick witted when it comes to seeing something and then saying something. And it happens on screen, it happens off screen. My manager tells me all the time. He's like, oh my God, you're so quick with it. Like, I don't know how you do it. And, you know, I just attribute it to me always having something to say. I always have something to say based off of, you know, whatever's going on. And it just so happened that when I watched memes, that worked perfectly, because, you know, somebody requests a really bad video, I've got, you know, some line to say about that. We watch a really good video, you know, my face turns red and I, you know, shoot off a one-liner about it. And I realized this formula of not only just watching the memes or the funny videos, but kind of always having a little bit to sprinkle on top, I realized that that was what was drawing people in, and that was what worked. You know, I used to not read a lot of my YouTube comments, because they, you know, just like people say, like, oh, don't read the YouTube comments. My YouTube comment section used to be not too great when I was doing skits, but then when I started doing the You Laugh You Lose, I would head down in the comments to see what people liked. And people just kept saying over and over really nice stuff about me and the series, and how they just loved the vibe of it. and how it was their favorite You Laugh, You Lose series. And so I kind of was jotting down mental notes and figuring out like, okay, you know, this person really likes this. Okay, I gotta, you know, add a little bit more of this in. And then it became this thing of like, as quickly as I could, making a well-oiled machine out of the You Laugh, You Lose challenge. And it basically became my goal to make, as best as I could, you know, the best You Laugh, You Lose series on YouTube. You know, I think there's other people that do it extremely well, but for myself, I wanted to make it as best as I could. So that ended up being my goal, and continues to be my goal to this day.
So what are kind of like the core pieces of that well-oiled machine? What allows you to make it kind of the best series you can possibly make it?
There's a lot that goes into it behind the scenes that that a lot of people don't see. I have my whole squad on my Discord server that they go through all of the requests that come through on there. And there's a bot that handles like, so people will copy paste the videos into my Discord and they'll go into a certain channel. And then my mods will approve or deny them based off of whether they're safe or not to watch on stream. And then any videos that have already been, you know, requested the weeks prior will go into the repeat section and that kind of thing. So on the back end, I have this whole kind of system. And then when I go live, we have the media share section where people can donate videos in. And then there as well, I have my moderators approving and denying. So just on the back end, when it comes to the videos that will end up in front of my eyes, there's a whole, you know, there's a whole crew working to make sure that everything goes off without a hitch. Make sure, you know, no nudity, no slurs make it onto the screen, because that would not be good. So that's like, I guess, you know, the very base of what I would call the well-oiled machine. And then beyond that is, I guess, the editing. I work really closely with my editor. I edited it for about the first 50 episodes. And then I brought one of my buddies on to try editing, and it worked out really well. I had to kind of sit with him for the first two or three episodes he was editing and make sure that he knew the style, but then he adapted very quickly, figured out the style. And then ever since then, he's kind of taken control and he knows how to segment the video perfectly. And then I check up on it. I help him figure out the thumbnails, and then we're good to go. So there's a whole process behind it. I don't just kind of go live, clip it up, and then throw it on, because, you know, there's a lot of videos that don't make it onto the final product. And people know that because I stream for like, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then we ended up with a 20 to 30 minute video. So, and that includes, you know, intro and everything. I had a lot of people commenting when I was first doing the You Laugh, You Lose challenge. They were like, oh my gosh, it's so, you know, it's so funny how Jimmy happens to laugh around, you know, the 10 minute mark or 15 minute mark when they started getting along. It's so funny how he just happens to go, because they were assuming that I was laughing, you know, on purpose right when, you know, the video got long enough. And I was like, these people not understand that this is chopped up, that the you know, the live stream was way longer. I don't know. It was so funny to me that people just kind of like assumed that I was purposefully laughing at a certain point for the ad revenue, which was really funny to me. But I hope I, you know, broke it down enough. There is probably more to, you know, the system that I'm forgetting, but I do have a lot of help when it comes to getting it all together, and it definitely wouldn't be what it was without my editor and without my team behind me.
And so how do you, specifically with the mods and the people that review all the content before it gets to your eyes, how do you find people to do that? Is it just people in the community that volunteer? Are you putting out like a call for it? Like, how do you find those people?
So my main group of people kind of just grew with me. They were moderators on my stream or admins on my Discord for a long time. They just enjoyed hanging out in the community. It became, you know, their online home. And as things started to progress we work together. You know, one of my main guys happened to do coding, so he made the bot for the whole system. And then a couple of the other guys are just really responsible dudes that really want to help out. So a lot of it was people that grew alongside me, you know, and helped raise me up. But then we also have had other people come in, you know, after the success and kind of vetted them, made sure they were chill, made sure they, you know, were ready to follow the rules and everything. And then when it comes to people that are, you know, just on the squad to approve and deny videos, that kind of filters all the time. I actually just yesterday put out a new form like, hey, if you want to help approve the videos, you know, it's a, you know, volunteer thing. But if you want to be a part of like the behind the scenes process, then feel free to fill out this form. So it's kind of just like this fluctuating group of people in that section. So it's there's no major formula in terms of who I have on my team, but a lot of the people that I had helped me out with the smaller things early on are helping me with the big things now. And it's really cool to still have those people because most of them I consider really good friends.
No, absolutely. And then with the editing, I'm curious, like, so you, how long, you said about an hour and a half, 2 hours, that's how long you stream for usually?
Yeah. The Laugh You Lose, unless it's going to be like a really big event, ends up being approximately an hour and a half to 2 hours of recording. Yeah.
And so when you're chopping that down into a 10, 15, 20, 30 minute video, I know you don't do the editing anymore, like you said, but when you were editing, what are some of those things, like what determined what made it into the cut down for YouTube and what determined like what didn't?
Especially early on, there was a lot of, I want to say, good videos and not so good videos, because I think over time, people have started to understand what makes me laugh. And so when the series was fresh, there'd be a lot of hits and a lot of misses. And so usually when I would go into editing, I would cut out, I think that's what the videos actually used to be shorter now that I think about it. I would cut out a lot of the content that would have little to no reaction from me or just wasn't funny, or maybe if it was kind of off-putting. So I would just cut a lot of that out and leave in the good stuff, which I think doesn't have to happen with a You Laugh You Lose. I think having a little bit of like, you know, a couple videos here and there that just kind of are like, hey, you know, what the hell was that kind of thing? I think that's a little important, but it was always important to me to keep the bangers in, because I always wanted everyone that was watching to be on the cusp of laughter or, you know, breaking before I did. You know, that's always my challenge, is, you know, see if you can last longer than I did in the stream. And while they might not see everything, they're seeing, you know, the best of the best. And so now that there's a little bit more of a formula to what makes me laugh, and people, you know, hyperanalyze it before they submit their, you know, entry. And a lot of people even put their own custom submissions in, which is really cool. It's a lot more honed in on not only me, but the community that watches. You know, obviously there's some correlation between my sense of humor and the people that watch, because it's kind of built itself up that way. You know, the videos that I find funny make it into the video. And then if people think they're funny, then they join the community, and then it just keeps ramping up. So that's why I think the videos are longer, because we just get better video entries now, which is great.
How do you balance creating that, or having that content that you're laughing at, that your community laughs at? Kind of like, how do you balance having jokes and memes and stuff that are inside jokes versus stuff that are more kind of commonly, that could be laughed at by anybody? So if somebody new does land on your channel, they're still able to enjoy it, even if they don't get all the inside jokes. Like, what's the balance there?
Yeah, that is one thing that I had to kind of address at one point with my community. There was a point in time where people were either A, submitting the same kind of meme over and over, or B, submitting more inside jokes that were pretty funny, but to a new viewer might not be. So I kind of had to like address that at one point, be like, hey, love the edits, love these things, but I want to make sure that new viewers can understand what's going on, and you know, will think that the submissions are funny. And luckily I haven't had much of an issue with that. a lot of people really do go out and scout, whether it's, you know, try to find their favorite TikTok that's been re-uploaded to YouTube, or just, you know, something they found that was really great within the last week. They'll submit. So I haven't really had too much initiative. The only time that I have like an excess of community driven stuff that might be a little bit hard to understand as an outside viewer is during like big events, like The Laugh You Lose 100. You know, there was tons of fan art stuff. There was tons of specific edits that were just pertaining to like series memes. So overall, hasn't been too big of an issue. And I think most of the inside jokes, like I think the biggest one over the series has been the Dougal joke. There's a animated dog that has its ears, it's like hair that comes down to the side. So people started making memes saying like, oh, Jimmy looks like Dougal. And I think that one visually is really easy to understand, is a really big inside joke, but it's also a new viewer is going to be like, oh, I get it instantly. And to my viewers, no, I don't look like Dougal.
And so you said that, so a lot of the inside jokes came from that You Laugh, You Lose 100. What's the number you're on now? Like, what's the most recent upload for the person, for someone listening that doesn't know, what is the most recent number of the You Laugh, You Lose?
I just uploaded number 103. So yeah. And what I meant, a lot of inside jokes didn't come from number 100, but when episode 100 rolled around, a lot of people made like projects and edits because they knew the episode was going to be big. So that's where a lot of like the inside jokes or inside edits kind of came through. And then usually on regular episodes, it'll be a lot of just normal memes.
100 was a celebration. So that makes
exactly
that makes sense. But so that's exclusively what you're doing right now, right? Is the You Laugh, You Lose. Like there's not really any other content you're normally posting to the channel?
To the main channel, yes. It's exclusively You Laugh, You Lose right now. I've been working for the last few months on a lot of big projects, but these projects are taking a long time. And so soon I will have another main series on my main channel. And then even past that, we'll have one more supplementary series. So I'm going to start ramping it up and trying new content on the channel that still kind of stays within the realm of what I'm doing, give or take. But it will be different and it will hopefully be exciting and fun. But yeah, main channel exclusively You Laugh, You Lose right now. And then I have my Jimmy Here Live channel, which I, you know, react to some other content. And then I've got some gaming stuff on there that's actually done okay. And then, you know, after that, I've got my VOD channel and my shorts channel. But the shorts are usually just cut down You Laugh, You Lose moments.
Are you at all worried to start introducing new content to the channel? Or is your experience of going from known as the guy from the Wednesday video to You Laugh, You Lose, you like you've made the transition once, like in a pretty big transition, and now because this transition's a little bit closer, it's not as big a jump, like are you worried at all still with introducing new content, or are you like, no, I've gone through this before and I can take that experience and apply it here now?
It's a bit of both. I think it's, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I think coming from having that major dip and then coming back up, it does seem a little less daunting to put myself out there with new stuff. But at the same time, I think expectations are at an all-time high. So while I do feel a little bit more, you know, battle-worn at this point and stuff will affect me a bit less intensely, I still want to, you know, I still have those expectations and I have those things that I want anything else that I put out to either, you know, come close to, match, or just transcend what I'm doing now, because obviously I want to make content that makes my community happy, make them laugh, make them entertained. And so it would be a big bummer to put something out and have it just be a total flop. But I think I still got my You Laugh, You Lose to fall back on at this point. Not that I want to necessarily, you know, just default to it because I have to, but because I still love it. And so it kind of alleviates the pressure. Like, you know, at the end of the day, I love making the You Laugh, You Lose, and I've got the You Laugh, You Lose as my main squeeze. So I have this wiggle room to try these new projects. And if they succeed, awesome. If they don't, it was fun because it has been fun, you know, crafting them behind the scenes. And, you know, I've got my, I've got a team behind me now that is helping me formulate all these things. And, you know, I've got people with more analytical minds. I've got people that can help me, you know, look outside the box. And so when we're making these projects, we're kind of making them with the anticipation that they will do well. You know, there's always a fluke. There's always the chance that it doesn't, but we're doing our best to be like, yes, this will be watchable and enjoyable and potentially succeed really well.
And do you have a timeline-ish? I know you can't give away too much because it's not out yet, but do you have like a rough-ish timeline of when you're hoping, not a guarantee, when you hope to kind of put it out?
I want to say I want the second series to come out within the next month or two. But I think I've been on a plane probably like 6 or 7 times already in the last 2 months. So that's what's really been holding it back. And then I'm going on another trip probably in a week or two. But then once I get back from that, it's like, it's basically go time. You know, we've been setting up tons of stuff here at home. We've got new studio lighting. We've got a studio in the garage that just opened up with a bunch of, sound absorption. So we've got, you know, we've got the stage set. We just need to execute when things cool down a little bit. And so, yeah, I would say about a month or two, we'll see, you know, my first dive into the second series for the main channel. And then we'll get into a little bit more. And then there's also things that I can't talk about. We have, oh my gosh, it's kind of crazy. We have like 6 projects that are in the works, but it feels kind of bad to still only have the Laugh You Lose right now, because I'm like, guys, I promise there's so many big things that are about to drop, but you gotta wait. And so it's really exciting, but it's also like I'm busier than I've ever been, but I'm still only uploading the You Laugh You Lose basically right now, other than, you know, my live stream content that's being chopped up as well. So it feels like I'm putting in all this work, but I haven't seen the outcome yet. But once it comes out, I think it's going to be like really big deal, really exciting. One of the things I actually can talk about is one thing that did come out during You Laugh You Lose 100. We put out a song that I wrote and I sang. I didn't produce it, but you know, I was the vocals in it, and it actually is doing really well. I'm not a musician. I want to make sure to claim that I don't do music. I didn't come from music. I don't claim to know music, but it was really fun to kind of jump into that avenue, to this new medium that I've never done before. And because it did pretty well, probably going to be chasing after a little bit of that success and just see where it goes. You know, I don't want to be one of those YouTubers that tried to jump into, you know, the music field. But if people are enjoying it and it's a good, you know, expression of myself, because, you know, music is one of the best ways to express yourself, then why the hell not? You know, I'll make a few songs if people want to listen, and maybe it'll turn into something more than I expect. I don't expect it to, for sure, but it's fun. So that's another one of the projects that we've got going on. Takes up a lot of my time.
That's awesome, though. But for clarification, there won't be any, you're not bringing diss tracks back or anything to YouTube, right?
That's not in the schedule, but you never know.
But how do you kind of balance? So right now you got the You Laugh You Lose, you've got music, you've got these 6 other projects you're working on. How do you kind of balance everything and make sure everything's getting the appropriate attention it needs?
It's a tightrope walk almost every day. It's like, I'm not very good with my time. So I have people that are behind me that are good with handling my time and will kind of hound me to get stuff done. I really would not be nearly as productive if I didn't have people that were, in my stands cheering for me. I really owe a lot of, you know, what I'm working on and what I'm doing now to a lot of my team behind me. And so while that's also kind of daunting to have people behind you with a lot of expectations of you, it's also really nice because these people believe in me. And so when it comes to keeping my schedule balanced or getting what I need to get done, it's a lot, but I know I'm not alone in it. And so that's kind of nice. I still don't get nearly as much things done as I probably could be getting done, but I'm getting there.
I think that's everyone. So I wouldn't beat yourself up too much with wanting to do more than you're doing. But to me, kind of from the outside looking in, it sounds like you've done a really good job of cultivating a good team behind the scenes. And you also, like we talked, like you mentioned a little earlier, of cultivating a really strong community. So I think no matter what the outcome is, like you've built such a strong community that supports you, like not the content, they support you as an individual, that no matter what happens, they're still going to rock with you. And so that's not a common thing though. Like to build a solid community like you have is very, very rare, especially when you mention like there's not really any hate comments in your videos. Like,
wow.
There's not a ton, right? Like your comment section compared to someone else's is dramatically different. So like
there's a ton of positivity. It's crazy.
It's wild. I know like the Discord model for like 5 years has been good vibes only, and that's what's going on. It's like, how have you accomplished it? I know having that as a motto is one thing, but that's, you gotta have more than just a motto for that. So how have you done that?
It's gonna sound super cheesy. But that's kind of just how I am. I feel like a lot of people, even through a camera, can tell who a person is and what they're all about. And unless you're like, you know, an A-class actor that puts on all the time, who you are is going to shine through despite however you try to, you know, push it down. And so I'm just me when I'm on cam. Obviously, I'm a bit more exaggerated when I do my You Laugh, You Lose. But when it comes down to like my fundamental, you know, beliefs of how, you know, people should be treated and what kind of content that I should be posting online, I try to stick around what's important to me, which is, you know, feelings of inclusivity, trying to bypass all the crap in the world and try to put a smile on people's faces, you know, especially these days. You know, with the world seemingly falling apart, it's really important to me to give people a space to escape, not in an unhealthy way, but in a way that reminds people to smile. And that's kind of always what I've done when I've, you know, even when I first started streaming, I always just wanted a place for people to be able to chill and not feel like, you know, they'll be judged or attacked or shamed for anything. I've never allowed any kind of bullying or harassment in my community. It's just I never let it fly. And then when it comes to, you know, the positivity, I think I always try to, you know, have this aura of like, and it sounds weird, but I try to put on this aura of like, you know, here's a reason to smile kind of thing. And not everyone's going to find me funny. Not everyone's going to pick up those vibes, but I think a lot of people do. And that makes me really happy because, you know, I see the comment section, you know, almost as a reflection of like myself in terms of people can see what I'm about. People know that I actually do want to make them laugh, want to make them smile. I'm not here for a paycheck. I'm here because I found something that I absolutely love doing and it works perfectly in sync with who I am because I love entertaining and I love making people happy. So I think it's a whole system that just kind of like the community, I think almost kind of built itself off of that because people are attracted to, you know, what they like. And if people love positivity and, you know, people are maybe hurting and things like that make them feel better, you know, having a good laugh, then I think that's just kind of what's going to build itself naturally.
And is it a different audience on YouTube and Twitch, or is it the same?
I'd say it's a lot of the same. I have a lot of YouTube watchers come check out my stream for the first time. I see it all the time. It's, you know, Twitch has a thing that says first time chatter, and I see it constantly. But there is also a kind of more dedicated side to the Twitch watchers that is a little bit different. You know, I can tell, especially when somebody's subscribed for, you know, 2 years now, they might have joined in at the beginning of the Laugh You Lose and just been like, dang, I love this community. I want to stick around. And so when it comes to how everyone kind of is and acts, though, there's a bit more banter on the Twitch side of things, because it is a little bit easier to, you know, when I can see the chat, you know, for somebody to say something like, not in a super hurtful way, but, you know, they'll roast me in the chat on Twitch much more than they will in the YouTube comments, because YouTube comment, you know, you're putting one thing there and it's sticking. And if you put something that's doesn't, you know, doesn't hit the same or is kind of like off-putting, I might read it a little bit differently because, you know, you wrote something on the wall rather than something that's just going to fly by. So the banter's definitely there with the Twitch chat. And I think the wholesomeness is just the thing that takes over in the YouTube comments. But there is a lot of wholesomeness in Twitch chat too.
Of course. And so is the funnel kind of like people now, for new people, they find you through the YouTube videos and come over to the Twitch channel? Or is a lot of people finding you through Twitch and going to YouTube? Like, what's that funnel kind of look like?
I would say it's mostly the YouTube community that is the main, you know, bulk of the funnel. And then there are people that do find me on Twitch, though. But it's mostly from YouTube. And one thing that I was wanting to do for the longest time that I couldn't figure out is I always wanted a system that fed into itself with, you know, somebody discovers me on one platform and then they feel almost obligated to go check out the other platform and then the other platform. So my big three would be YouTube, Twitch, and then Discord. That's why right at the beginning of my YouTube videos, I always say, catch me on Discord, catch me on Twitch. And then people come over to the Twitch channel and then they might, you know, filter over into the Discord. Then once they're in the Discord, they get notifications about the Twitch channel and the YouTube. So it all cycles within itself. And that's something that I struggled to build for a really long time, but this series has really done that. And YouTube definitely is the big, you know, opener for all of that.
I know another thing I've heard you say in the past that you've struggled with is like that question of like, why do I deserve this? Like, why do I, of everybody that's trying, everyone wants to be a content creator, why am I having success? Like, is that still something you struggle with? Something you still ask yourself often?
I don't struggle with it, I think, as much as I used to. But imposter syndrome kind of stuff, or like, why do I deserve this, is definitely something that I think for a lot of people just never really, no matter how successful you are, never really leaves your mind unless you're, you know, most confident dude in the world. I think there's a lot of things that are always kind of like that itch in the back of your mind of like, have I really done something, you know, deserving of this? Or, you know, in my case, like if I wanted to break it down and really, you know, make myself feel bad about it, I'd be like, oh, I'm just watching other people's videos. What am I really, you know, creating? But then I have to kind of like slap myself back in reality and be like, oh, well, yeah, I'm watching other people's videos, but I'm putting so much of myself into it and people can really see that. Because if I was just uploading meme compilations with no personality, you know, it might get a bit of views, but the community that I've created tells me completely otherwise. The people that tell me, you know, I'm so grateful for X and Y, or this thing that you said or did was so funny. So it's a little bit of myself that I pour on top of everything, that when I get that feedback, I know that it's not just me watching videos. It's me creating a challenge, a community, a whole, you know, subset of inside jokes that, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm actually making something here. I'm actually kind of creating something, and especially with the new stuff that I'm going to be working on, you know, it's much more of an individual creative process rather than, you know, banking necessarily on other content. So there is a lot of stuff that I deal with on the daily with that, but, you know, the people behind me really help me feel special, help me feel like what I'm doing is, you know, above and beyond just copy paste, and that really helps me kind of feel more grounded when it comes to like confronting my success, I guess.
Absolutely. And like I've done, this is my 185th interview on this show. And like no one has grown anything significant, whether it be a business or a following, by accident. Like it doesn't happen. You don't get to where you are undeservedly, but just making it up. Like there's a reason you are where you're at. And I'm curious how often, I know you kind of talked about you like to look back. How often do you look back on everything, you know, from that guy that was posting on Vine to get clips on iFunny to where you are today?
I don't look back too often. I definitely, you know, appreciate what it was and what I was doing and what I learned. But I also, when I look back on kind of the fact that I was such a novice. And there's nothing wrong with being, you know, bad at doing something. But I guess in a way, when I see some of my older content, you know, it's almost like one of those things where, you know, I just want to shake myself and be like, what were you doing here? You know, and why didn't you go about it this way or do this thing? So, not that I'm making like the most incredible content these days, but it's one of those things where, you know, I think for any kind of, you know, artist, when you look back on some of your older stuff, you're like, man, like that wasn't it. Like for some people it was it, but you know, for me especially, I feel like I really struggled to find myself, find what I felt that I was good at. And it wasn't until it clicked that I felt like I really found what I wanted to do. And then everything in the rearview mirror was like, yeesh, you know, like a lot of it was fun. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the ride. But I don't dwell on it too much. I've definitely learned a lot from all those experiences, but I like to really kind of focus in on what I'm doing now and how to make it as best I can. And there isn't too much stuff that I did with my older content, especially that kind of affects what I do now, as far as I'm aware. I look back on it kind of fondly. You know, it was fun. It was goofy. But now, I guess now it's so much more of an actual job that I kind of have to take it more seriously and hyper focus on, you know, what works now, you know, what's working for other people, how can I implement, you know, that kind of stuff, and how can I continue to hone my own craft. And so I think my eyes are, you know, mostly straight ahead of me.
Fair enough. But I'm glad you do look back on that time fondly. I know we're over time. I appreciate you sticking through this with me. I'm going to jump to my last question that I ask at the end of every interview. So I like to flip the script a little bit with this last question. So instead of me asking the question, it's you asking the question, but it's not to me. So pretend you have a crystal ball. You can ask this crystal ball any question. You'll get the 100% honest answer. What is one question you want to know the answer to?
In terms of content creation, right?
Anything.
Or just anything. Oh, man. That is a big one. I think if I had to, and I think the answer would kind of scare me, so I almost wouldn't want to know. But I think if I had to ask myself or ask the crystal ball, what would truly make me happy? That's the question I would want to know the answer to. But it's kind of scary because I'm almost concerned that, like, you know, what I'm doing now, like I'm very happy doing what I'm doing now, but you know, when it comes to true happiness, I'm like, shoot, you know, there's a lot of things that I think about. A lot of me wants to slow down. A lot of me wants to, you know, put eggs in different baskets that I can't really do right now. So, you know, if that was the case, if I really was going to be truly happy, you know, moving out to like farmland, you know, I don't know if I'd like that answer. It might be true, but I don't know if I'd like it. But I think happiness is, you know, what everyone strives for. I think that's what I would want to, you know how to find, I guess. Kind of cheesy, but I think chasing happiness is, I think, what a lot of people are doing these days.
No, 100%. I think that's a great question, an important one to ask. And even if you don't have a crystal ball, it's an important question to ask yourself. But I want to thank you, man, for taking time to come on the podcast. I want to give you the floor. I know we've kind of talked about it throughout, but where can the people find you? Plug anything and everything you got right now.
Yeah, I think you can find me mostly anywhere just by searching up Jimmy here. Main channel, You guys can check out the You Laugh, You Lose series if you want to catch up on it. Got a lot to go because there's 103 episodes. Got a lot of cool stuff in the works. Music, potentially. Big new series we're going to do. And I think there's a lot going to be a lot of collaboration content coming up. We'll be moving to Texas soon. There's a big hub out there. So you want to keep up with me, see what's going on past, you know, past the You Laugh, You Lose, you know, we'll see where I'll be in a year. Might be pretty exciting. So we'll see what goes down.
Awesome. Well, make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so people can find it. And I want to thank you once again for taking time to come on the podcast. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Whether you've listened the entire way through or you only listen to bits and pieces, I really appreciate you taking time to check this out. Do me a big favor, go and subscribe to Jimmy's channel. I'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below, like I said, so you can find it. If you'd like to follow me, you can find me everywhere on social media at the Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. As always, today's podcast is powered by Surf. Thank you once again for listening. We'll talk soon.